Okay, Wendy, the recording is in process today. We are doing this. It is a Wednesday when we're doing this. I will probably put this out on Thursday, but it's Wednesday. We got some stuff to do tomorrow. I am Trey Davis. This is my sister, Wendy. If you have never listened to this show, we got a show name, which is Fourth and Wendy. We also do this on the podcast, so it's put out on Apple Podcasts as Fourth and Wendy. Like I said, Wendy is my sister. She gets on one every now and then. Wendy, and there looks like there's going to be plenty of subject matter to get on one about this week. And we just need to get into it, and we might as well get down with the get down. Wendy, let's check in with you first. How are you doing?
Well, I live in Knoxville, Tennessee, 20 minutes away from the stadium, so not great. I mean, it, you know, I guess it probably is like living in Alabama when Auburn beats Alabama. You just have to hear it. I mean, I have to hear it all the time, all the stuff, all the whys, all the you're not that good, and it's like, okay. So, I mean, but I still wear my Bama shirt. I don't care. I'm not scared to walk out here. I'm not, but Trey, it's been a week. I'll tell you that.
It has been a week. Let's go ahead and start off with the Alabama Crimson Tide, Wendy. They travel to Neyland Stadium. I'll go ahead and give the final. Tennessee beats Alabama 24-17, Wendy. In kind of an ugly game, nobody really was really clicking on all cylinders. We did hear the atmosphere was incredible. And I think probably what you're seeing with these Tennessee fans is all these years that they kind of go into the Alabama game thinking they might have a chance. And for so many years, Nick Saban would come in and Tennessee thought they were going to be somebody. And Alabama just literally blasted them off the field. It was kind of over by halftime. Not anymore, Wendy. The Tennessee Vols are rolling on the river. The Vol Navy's probably kicked back up. Everything's rolling. Wendy, tell me your experience of the game. Tell me, break it down. What's up?
Well, I mean, as far as the experience of the game, I was depressed. Like, what do you mean? I just wanted to go to bed throughout the whole entire game. We looked awful. We looked awful, Trey. As far as the experience of the game, I mean, Maylee went. My daughter went to the game. So the experience, the atmosphere was awesome before the game. You know, tons of Tennessee fans. I think the stadium fits like 110,000 people. Said it was shoulder to shoulder. Even tailgating was shoulder to shoulder. So the atmosphere was never in question.
Get to the game,
okay,
Wendy.
Right. I'm going to tell you something. I ain't the one this week. Trey, at the end of the day, at the first half, I knew there was going to be some problems when we get three turnovers and cannot convert any points off of them. You know, at that point, you're just like, well, our defense is playing a lot better, but our offense for the third week in a row, well, 2 weeks in a row. Trey, I don't really know what's going on with Milroe. I don't know. Like, I'm almost speechless, which anybody that knows me knows that would be really something hard to get me to. But this is what I wrote on the board. So,
give me the board. Is Milroe the guy?
Like, is Milroe the guy? So let's take out, first let's talk about defense. Our defense played better. Our defense played a lot better last week. They did exactly what we wanted them to see. The problem is it wasn't our defense. It was our offense. And I'm going to go over some things with Milroe right now that I'm just not liking. One, it looks like he's only looking for Ryan Williams. It just feels like we have all these other weapons and you're only looking for Ryan Williams. If y'all haven't figured out that they're covering Ryan Williams, then we need a new coaching staff. I mean, that's who they're going to cover, guys. So you've got Bernard, you've got Law, we've got two great running backs, we've got some other really good Odom. Like, we've got these receivers. You go back and look at the playback, guys, a lot of these times these guys are open and Milroe's not seeing them. I feel like it's just tunnel vision with him and Williams. Second off, he's back to what he did last year where he's just not running. He's not recognizing, okay, I don't have a play, and then using his legs. His throws are way inaccurate, Trey. I just don't know if Milroe's the guy, and I'm not just talking about this one game, I'm going all the way into last year as well, where we had these same conversations and these same problems. You know, I just was, it was just like, what are we doing? That's how I felt the entire game. Like, what are we actually doing? How did you feel about Milroe's performance? I mean,
yeah, well, we said it last week on the show, Winnie, that Milroe was going to have to wake up on the right side of the bed. He was going to have to be the best player on the field. It has come out that he might be a little injured, a little hurt. There hadn't been a lot. We don't know. I mean, is it an upper body injury, lower body injury? It could be something, one of the two. We know the guy gets jumpy in these big games. We know he does, and that's fine. I mean, this is a lot of pressure going on in these games. And I'm fine with the guy having a little bit of pressure. But why this coaching staff hadn't figured out this guy's going to be a little jumpy in this game, let's get him into this game. AKA, we should have four or five plays to start the game where there's no checks, there's no reads, there's no nothing. There is, yep. We are going up to the ball, we are going to snap the ball, and we're going to run this play. And if it has to be four or five running plays, it has to be four or five running plays. We're getting false starts and, you know, half the line's moving, half the line's not moving on the start of the game. Like we're shocked that it's loud. Well, give the guy something to kind of feed on a little bit. And let him just hand the ball off a couple times or a couple of easy swing passes. Get him settled into the game quicker instead of going up there and checking at the line and all this other crap when it's 172 decibels up there. I blame some of that on the coaching. We know he gets excited in these games. And why this coaching staff can't say, let me tell you something, we are going to run these plays and get the game off to a good start, I'll never know. And that's fine. You know, the game unfolded very similar to how Tennessee's played games and very similar to how Alabama's played games.
Yeah.
It's very sloppy. It's very ugly. Tennessee turns the ball over a bunch. We're turning the ball over all the time. It's just a sloppy game. What do you know? Tennessee runs the ball, tries to hit a couple deep shots early, misses them, just like they've done all year long. And in the second half, as the second half comes, Tennessee hit a couple of those passes. So it's obvious to say, when you have opportunities to score and win football games, you have to do it. And it's not always in the third or fourth quarter. It could be in the first quarter. It could be the second play of the game. It's one of the better quotes by these really good, you know, football coaches. And we heard it from our dad growing up. In a football game, there's four or five plays that are going to determine the game. Okay.
Yep.
The only problem is you don't know which play it is.
Right.
It could be the first play of the game, and it could be the 12th play of the game. So that's a little bit of the push and shove. I thought our guys played hard. I thought our guys, you know, really stuck in there with the game and just didn't have enough juice at the end to finish it off. You know, that's really what I saw. You know, I think people might be talking about, you know, do you take Milroe out a series? A la what the guy did from on the Texas game when they took Quentin Ewers out and put Manning in, or whatever the Manning kid's name is. Sometimes if you can get these guys back to the sidelines, let them see it, let them breathe a little bit, they can get back out there and produce a little bit more for you, Winnie. But, you know,
I think that's the problem. I think as Alabama fans, we're not used to losing this many games this early. And so we kind of jump the gun is, you know, what about the backup quarterback? Should we play the backup quarterback at this point? You know, what I'm saying is I don't know if I believe that Milroe can do the big games. And so here's the problem. We needed this Tennessee game. If we win this Tennessee game, we're gonna move up a couple slots. We didn't know at the time Texas was gonna lose. So, you know, we kind of need this game to kind of like push us back in. We've only got LSU really coming up. Well, I say that now. Now we've got everybody, but we only got another big game in LSU that's kind of ranked in that top 10. So we really needed this game, in my opinion. And Trey, I just don't know if this guy is the guy. Like, and I know that, but let me say this, if he's the leader, it doesn't matter. If he's the leader in the locker room and his guys love him, it doesn't matter whether he's the guy or not. You know what I mean? You take him out, put somebody else in. Do they play for him? I don't know.
But this is what I agree with you. This is what you have to get. I think people have to get this out of their head. Get out of your head. If the starting quarterback comes off the field and doesn't play for a series or doesn't play for two series, it doesn't mean that he's never going to play there again. It doesn't mean that he lost his starting job. It doesn't mean anything. It just means the guy, give him a little bit of a break and see if he can reset a little bit and watch it from the sidelines for a series or two. It's not throwing the baby out with the bath water. It's him sit down for a minute. I mean, hell, Michael Jordan came out of basketball games all the time. You don't have to play every day. And I think that is more of the concept that we've got to get out as fans and really as coaches. Like, sit down for a minute. Let him take a break. Who knows if that would have changed the game, Wendy. I still like the effort from Alabama. Tennessee just made more plays than Alabama did.
And I'm going to give accolades, Trey. I didn't listen to you all season. You're right. Their defense is the real deal. I did not listen to you. They played lights out. And let me say this. Tennessee at the end of the game had more points than Alabama. I mean, it's just that simple. They played a better game. Whether they couldn't figure it out the first half, they figured it out the second half. Their 12th man, meaning their fans, stayed in it from beginning to end. Were a huge problem for Alabama at certain times. They were able to keep that momentum when they got the momentum. And at the end of the day, I give accolades to Tennessee. They won the game. They played a better game. I don't think either team played that well. I mean, if just as fans of the game, but at the end of the day, there's a scoreboard and it had us at lower points and it just is what it is. You know, we just got to move on to next week and hope we get better. That's all we can do.
Yeah. And we'll talk about next week, Wendy. And I will say this, Tennessee's got a good defense. And listen, if you've got a good defense, it can cover up from a lot of mistakes, lot of mistakes. And that's what Tennessee's doing. Let's see if they can get it going as they continue on through their season. Wendy, the other big game was the Georgia Bulldogs. They pull in the caravan from Athens, headed out to Texas, where all the stars were out. We had the regular Matthew McConaughey sightings, but we had a bunch of stars out at this thing. Yeah. Rogan was there. There was a bunch of these stars they're showing. I mean, it was a vibe.
Yeah,
and Georgia came out. Let me make sure I get this out. Georgia wins the game 30-15. And just like I said, Georgia comes out and says, what's up? They say, what's up? And Texas was like, oh, I didn't know it was this kind of party. And George was like, oh, yeah, it's this kind of party. I'm going to blast you, and I'm going to blast you again, and I'm going to blast you again. That's what kind of party this is tonight.
Yep.
And Georgia showed the dominance that they are and the team that they are and really the program that they are. They show up in a big game. They start producing. They start making plays. Wendy, the game was really a boring game to watch.
Yeah.
I hate to say that, but it was a boring game to watch until one moment in the game.
One moment in time.
So everybody's laid back in their recliners trying to get – if you're an Alabama fan, thinking about the Alabama game, watching this game, Georgia's blasting these people off planet Earth. Quentin Ewers looks like he is in la-la land. And it gets to the second half, and here comes Texas. Texas says, well, I want to be back in the party. Let me see if y'all can party like this.
Right.
And we'll set this up to a point of, I think Georgia's up 20-something to 8 at the time. It was a 2 or 3 score game. Georgia has a 3rd and 3. Georgia throws a pass down the sidelines, and Texas intercepts the pass. Texas runs it back to the 5-yard line, and pandemonium has broke out in Texas.
Right.
Here comes Texas. There is a flag on the field, ladies and gentlemen. We got a flag.
Yep.
And it is going to be pass interference on Texas.
Yep.
Wipes away the interception. Georgia still has the ball, and pandemonium breaks out, Wendy.
Yeah.
Water bottles, beer bottles, everything that could be thrown in one section of that stadium was thrown onto the field, and I stood up out of my chair, and I said, this is why I'm here.
Right. Entertain.
This is why I watch. Now
you want to be entertained.
Let's do it. Let's go. Now, this is why I'm here. Let's get mayhem and let's get crazy. Well, Wendy, little did we know that 10 seconds later, it was going to get crazier. The officials changed the call, and I'm just explaining this out. Most people know this. The officials changed the call to a no call, or it was on the wrong guy. Give Texas back the ball inside the 10-yard line. And, Wendy, I thought we were going to have a full-on riot on our hands.
Yeah.
Texas ends up getting the ball. They got the call right. They got the call right.
I agree.
It wasn't pass interference. It just wasn't. But I haven't seen it much in college where a call is made on the field over the loudspeaker, and then 30 seconds later, it is reversed going the other way. You see some of that in the pros. They all kind of huddle up together and make the right call. Wendy, break it down. What were you thinking?
Well, the party is a great analogy because it's almost like Texas came to a party and they were just trying to chill, and Georgia was just ready to rave it out. You know what I mean? They were fist pumping. They were beating it out. Georgia and Texas was like, everything's cool, man. We're the best that's ever been. And I'm going to go back and say what I've always said. Welcome to the SEC, Texas. I mean, these week after week schedules of playing these SEC teams, whether they're good or bad, right, are it's hard to do. But when that started happening, I got a few one, that can be dangerous, throwing all that stuff on the field. The last time we saw that happen was old Lane Kiffin over there at Tennessee when he played with Ole Miss. And, I mean, they were throwing golf balls and full cans of mustard. And, you know, this stuff can get a little wild. But, like Lane Kiffin said, the call wasn't reversed. So, to me, I go back to the rules. And the rules are it's not a reviewable play, right? I agree with you. They got the call right. I'm not disagreeing. But it kind of came across in real time. Okay, well, everybody gets all crazy and wild, and you can get this thing turned over. So throwing stuff on the field, not okay. But, Trey, I'm sitting there, and I'm like, this is the most entertained I've been all day. Crushing of being in the Alabama game, you know what I mean? Then it's like, first off, never in a million years thought Georgia would get up on Texas like that. Just the lopsidedness of the game. It was the wildest thing I've ever seen. And then when this goes off, you're right. They got the call right. You are correct. There wasn't a penalty on it. But it felt like it fueled Georgia even more. You see what I'm saying? It was like they were already had as much alcohol as physically possible at this party, and now they're going to add in the liquor. You know what I mean? And it's like, here we go. And it's almost what happened, or how it felt like it happened to me. So they're already mad, and now you've got to matter. And when Texas wanted back into the party, they were trying to get past the bouncer. You know, they were trying to wiggle their way back in. Georgia was just like, no, we ain't having it. And I'm going to tell you, watching Kirby Smart being worked up is one of my favorite things to do. It was one of my favorite things at Alabama. You talk about players that were playing for a coach. That was on Saturday night. I mean, those boys, he brought them in ready to play. They beat Texas. And now that we've lost to Tennessee, we actually needed them to beat Texas. It makes our win look better. So, I mean, I'm a Georgia fan this week. I mean,
and it did cross my mind too, Wendy. How in the world did we beat Georgia?
How in the world did we beat Georgia?
I don't know, but we did. It's almost like a forgotten game that we did beat Georgia. Yep. And it was kind of odd. It like felt like we beat Georgia and then they beat us and then we beat them again all in the same game.
Right.
But that is how that turned out, Wendy. I know there's a few Georgia fans out there that love the conspiracy and love that the referee got the call from Birmingham, Alabama to go ahead and overturn that call. It might have been more of a TV executive because the game was literally really getting out of hand. But that's what we're doing. Wendy, we'll jump down a few more scores. Auburn football Tigers, once again, the Auburn football Tigers have a lead going into the fourth quarter. I think I heard a stat. They were up 14 points against Missouri. They were up 14 points in the fourth quarter. They end up losing the game. Missouri scores 21 points. Auburn scores 17.
Yep.
And Auburn, instead of finding ways to win or finding ways to lose – it's kind of a dumpster fire down there. I think their plan A was terrible. It does not appear that they have a plan B. And if your plan A is terrible and you don't have a plan B, I don't know, Wendy. Yeah. It's trouble on the plains.
So I was right, though, because I wasn't right about much this week. But I was right about Auburn. So here's the thing, Trey. They're not a closer. You know, we all know a good closer. My dad was a good closer. Auburn ain't a closer. So the quarterback got hurt, y'all. I think he went to the hospital and then came back and still beat him. Yeah. So I mean, that's a problem. So, you know, if here's the issue, Trey, they don't have the athletes. I don't know about the coaching. I mean, I'm still just not Hugh Freeze is the worst thing that's ever lived, but I will say Hugh Freeze doesn't have anybody to blame anymore. Peyton Thorne played a decent game. You know what I mean? He's getting better every week. He's not turning over the ball as much. So who is there to blame now? You know what I mean, Ty? But at the end of the day, Missouri keeps finding a way to win these ball games. I mean, Missouri's been in the tightest games all year long against people. Like, it's not like Missouri's blowing anybody out. So Missouri, once again, finds a way to win.
Wendy, let's get into it. Let's just lead right into that. That's really – there was a couple other scores. Texas A&M beats Mississippi State. Texas A&M still sneaking around the conference. LSU beats Arkansas. A lot of people thought that would be an upset, but LSU continues to win at Arkansas. Yep. Vandy does win again. That was kind of the week 8 wrap-up, Wendy. A lot of stuff going on there. And we'll keep on the Missouri because we're going to go to week 9 at this point. It is going – let's go ahead and talk to Alabama-Missouri. We're already on Missouri. We've already talked about Alabama. Wendy, the game will be played at 2:30, and I don't believe it is homecoming at Saban Field – Bryant. What is it? Saban Field at Bryant-Denny Stadium?
At Bryant-Denny Stadium. That's right.
And it's going to be a 2:30 game. Weather looks good, Wendy. Alabama's got to get back up on the horse. Missouri is not a team to play with. The Cook quarterback for Missouri. Somebody that hurt, in another week, it just doesn't feel like Cook will be 100% even if he plays. Wendy, can Alabama get back on track and take care of business in a game? Can they do that or not, Wendy?
I mean, I don't know if they can, but we have to. I mean, our whole season now is riding on every game we've got to win. So can they? Sure. If the guys decide to get off TikTok and stop making memes and stop being these movie star type guys, if they want to play disciplined ball, if Jalen Milroe wants to recognize he's got multiple weapons at his disposal and he's only choosing one, not to say Ryan Williams isn't good, y'all. He's prolific. I'm not saying that, but you've got other guys out here and they're wide open and you're going to have to find them. I mean, Jalen Milroe needs a good game. He's got to get out of his head. We've got a home field advantage. You know what I mean? There's an advantage to being at home with Jalen Milroe. And I think, Trey, I'm going to step back just a little bit. I understand this. You know, he goes big games. He doesn't play well away. Well, I've had a whole bunch of quarterbacks alive since I've been alive playing for Alabama, like a ton. Like every year, there's a quarterback, right? He's the most skittish at away games that I've ever seen, that I can remember, that I can actually remember in an away game environment. He's the most skittish. So get him back at home and get him comfortable. But Trey, Missouri finds ways to win ball games. I mean, that's the issue. If we're up 21-17, then we're all going to be having the panic attacks in the fourth quarter. And quite honestly, I'm tired of it. Yeah. I want to go back to murderless football where we're just, you know, I know that's stupid, but it's like we're killing everybody. And by the fourth quarter, you're just eating some snacks. You know what I mean? You're just at home eating some snacks.
Yeah, it's the same. It's the same thing that I said about Georgia last week that I would say about Alabama this week. At this point of the season, you've got to get your leaders in the locker room and say, look, guys, this is where we're at. This is where we're trying to go. This is the kind of team that we have. And you've got to have your leaders kind of step up a little bit and get in that locker room and calm everybody down and go out there and just play some good football. Yep. That's what has to happen. I think it can happen, and I think it will happen. But if the coaches would kind of dial in on who we are, it just doesn't seem like we know exactly who we are. We have a few injuries on our defense now. So I'm looking for Alabama to come back, and I just think Alabama is due for a game. But you have to go out there and take it. So let's see if they can do it. Wendy, let's move on. We're going to do a couple
more. What's your score prediction?
The score prediction, I didn't really thought about a score, but Alabama, you know, Alabama's having a hard time getting to 28, 29 points. So, let's call Alabama 29. Let's call the Missouri Tigers 21.
I was going to say 27-21. So, I mean, that's, I'm like you, we just can't seem to get the points on the board. You know what I mean? So I'm going to go 27, but listen, Roll Tide. I mean, Roll Tide. I'm a Bama fan every single day, every day.
You got Auburn versus Kentucky. Auburn plays Kentucky at 6:45 at night. LSU, Texas A&M, one of the bigger games will be at 6:30 at night. LSU, Texas A&M, really big game in the SEC. You have Texas going to Vandy. So
come on, Vandy.
They're going to go from playing Georgia to playing Vandy. We know Vandy gives everybody problems. A lot of people are calling for Texas to lose to Vandy or it's going to be a good game. Sets up to me that Texas is going to go in there and blast them off the planet. I just think Texas is going to – they're good, and they're going to turn the screws on Vandy. I don't really see the upset there. Oklahoma and Ole Miss, that will be an 11 o'clock game.
Ole Miss will get that one.
That's pretty much your Oklahoma fired their offensive coordinator. They've got all kind of problems. All right, let's get to some messages, Wendy. Let's see if I can do this.
I'm going to back up a little bit on this text. I think Vandy can give Texas a run for their money, Trey. I really believe it. Whatever you say, fine. We'll talk about it next week.
Ain't going to happen. All right, here we go. Let's see if we can hear it. Let's see. Oh, I think I did this wrong.
Hey, this is Karen from Knoxville calling before the Alabama-Tennessee game.
Before.
Just wanted to say a couple more things about our coach. He was getting to the point he could about write his own ticket where he was. Alabama just had too much money to offer him, but he was not afraid to come to the SEC. And more importantly, he was not afraid to follow Nick Saban. So let's give him some credit and stay behind him till he can get our team where it needs to be. And he will do it.
Yep.
Roll Tide.
Karen from Knoxville wants everybody to calm down. Let Kalen DeBoer have some time to get it the way he wants to do it.
Yep.
Let's see here, Winnie. I think I have messed this up. I'm pretty sure I have. Let me get this next message out.
Hello to the greatest podcast on the planet. I would like to say this is just a few minutes before the Alabama-Tennessee game, and I am a nervous wreck. This is your sister, Big G, and I'm from Hoover, Alabama, and I would like to say that although I want to have confidence, I just want to. It just seems like this game is a coin flip, and I don't know who's going to win. I hope that Alabama wins, obviously. But this is going to be a great game. I'm really excited. And Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.
Hey,
Gina was right.
Roll Tide.
Gina was right. I mean, she was right.
Whitney, I wasn't paying attention to what she said. I apologize. I'm trying to do this one other thing.
She said that she was really nervous and that it's she has a feeling the game is just a coin flip, like either team could win. Yeah. And she was right. It was. I mean, both teams
Gina
played
might
well.
Be right. Gina might be right. All right, here we
That's
go.
Right. This is Karen from
I'm so confused, Wendy. Hold on.
Yeah.
Hey, Mrs. Hey, Miss Wendy. This is Corbin from the beautiful white beaches of Santa Rosa. I think we need to sit that guy, spring in tie for a second. Tell him what you think. I'm sure it's going to happen, but I hope you think it's the same. Love you guys. Love you what you do. Bye.
All right. That is Santa Rosa Beach. I think
I got a little overwhelmed with that. But I'm not taking away from his ability, but I think we need a little change. So tell him what you guys think. Tell me if it's going to happen.
Yep. Santa Rosa Beach in the house, and he's bringing up the same thing. It was kind of hard to hear. These messages sometimes don't get them there as good, but he's talking about maybe bringing in Ty for a series or two. Wendy, we talked about it earlier in the show. I don't think it's the worst idea, especially if Milroe gets into these quandrums again. And you know, we'll have to see what Alabama does. Wendy, I love you. What do you got on your weekend plans?
Well, just to answer him, because he specifically asked a question, I mean, there's 90% of me that wants to say get another quarterback in there, Corbin. I mean, for real, real. That's the madness in me. Get another guy in. Let this other, whoever's going to be the guy next year, let's just let him play. Let's see what happens. The only issue I have is Milroe the leader in the locker room? If he is, these other guys aren't going to play for the other quarterback. So we've got to kind of look at that. I'm with Trey, though. We've got to, our coach has got to be willing to make big decisions, right? Maybe decisions that other people on the team don't like. And if our quarterback's not getting it done, we got three sitting behind him that might be able to. Because at the end of the day, I just want to win ball games. I don't really care who's throwing the ball. The running back can be throwing the ball for all I care. I just want to win ball games. So, Corbin, it's a great question. We'll just have to see how the season plays out, man.
Yeah, and as the season gets later, Wendy, you just have to think he's going to show some more quarterbacks just to give somebody experience. Wendy, I love you. I hope everybody out there has a great week. We were going to get Mike on today. Mike ended up having a meeting. This is a little thing called work, but Mike is going to join us later in the year. We're going to try to get Nacho back. What's up to everybody out there in the text thread? Hope y'all have a great week, and we will talk to y'all later.
Roll Tide! Number Roll one. Tide. Not really. We're not number one.
Love you.
Love you.